Hey Ding Dongs, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
And this is Explain It to Jamie, Double Dip episode.
Double dip!
Dip.
Squared.
For those of you that are new to the podcast, this is our, not a new segment. It's a segment in which we revisit topics that we have already covered to either clarify things that we said, correct things that we said,
or update current events that are still in progress.
Yeah, as we live in this nightmarish 24 hour news cycle in which at any given moment the best news or the worst news could come piping into your brain via the internet.
Usually both. I also want to say Dip Squared sounds like a bougie pita restaurant.
Do you say pito restaurant?
Pita.
Pita restaurant.
What's pito? Like pedophile?
Yeah, pito is like British slang for pedophile.
God. No, that's a very different project that I'm definitely not working on.
Yeah.
You can't hear, but my eyes are going sideways.
Like I can hear them.
Okay, today on the Double Dip, we're going to double dip the French election,
yes.
The French presidential election, and the FBI, because I'm told that something happened. I don't know what it is. I have to look it up.
I'll fill you in.
Yeah, let me know, Jamie. Okay.
So the French election, Richard, it has happened.
Yes.
It has happened. I was about to say the good guys won, but it's more like
the not bad guys won.
Yeah. Yeah,
the bad guys.
Yeah, vanilla
win.
Ice cream was nominated the best ice cream flavor in the world.
Yeah, So the French election happened. If you haven't listened to our bonus episode on the French election, please give it a listen now. It'll fill you in on what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah.
So Emmanuel Macron won the French election, which is good. He won with a pretty solid mandate of about 66%, I think, is what he ended up taking. Right. Marine Le Pen took about 34%. And this is a good thing. It's a good thing that Marine Le Pen did not get elected.
Yeah.
She is horrible.
She is a monster wearing human skin.
Yeah, and like it would have been just a fundamentally, it would have completely changed Europe if she had won. It would have been very bad for France civil society in the short term. Like, things would have gotten very ugly there, I think. So I'm glad Macron beat her. I'm glad she didn't win. That being said, Macron is, to me, not a very inspiring candidate. Again, he's a guy of the neoliberal EU kind of consensus, right? He wants to kind of preserve the EU status quo the way it is and the way that it is currently, and maybe he leans slightly to the left of it, but he's an incremental reformer and not a big structural reformer. And so because of that, I'm worried that Macron's leadership will exacerbate the inequality, you know, between the poorest working class in France and the rural people in France and the kind of 1% of the EU who are the business leaders who make all the money. I'm worried that that inequality will continue in the way that it's been continuing.
We could have a little bit of deja vu 4 years from now.
Exactly. Right. And not just deja vu, but I think it could be worse. You know, I think that if the status quo continues, the things that made Marine Le Pen so threatening this time will make her even more threatening next time. So that's kind of something to wonder about and keep an eye on.
Right. It's like in Dragon Ball Z when Goku defeats Vegeta and Vegeta goes off and trains on another planet long enough that he returns also able to turn Super Saiyan.
Marine Le Pen, her power level is over 9,000 units of racism. Yeah. It's just like that. Right. It's also deserves to be said that France is now going to elect its like legislature. It's the Assemblée Nationale, the National Assembly, in an election in June. And so all the parties that ran for president are also running people in the Assemblée Nationale. And if a different party than Macron wins the assembly, then that party will have a lot of power.
Mm.
So that's worth something to keep an eye on. The Front National is running a lot of candidates. That's Marine Le Pen's group. And this year, the Front National has a lot more. They're running people who have a lot more established kind of political ties, like they're people who've already been elected municipally. They have a lot more capacity this time than they've had in the past. So they're not out of it yet fully. They're still a force. Macron's party is also running, and they're doing this interesting thing where they're running 50% people who aren't from politics and 50% people who are established politicians. And that's a tidbit that comes from listener Luke Opdahl. Thanks, Luke.
Hey, thanks, Luke.
He's a very good, he listens to everything. He's a fan, and we're really happy to hear from him every time we do. So, you know, hey, send us your tidbits. We'll mention him on the show. So that's an interesting thing Macron's doing. And he's also running a gender parity slate of candidates. So he's kind of like the Canadian Justin Trudeau. Like, it's easy to make that comparison.
Like, when you say gender parity, do you mean he's like getting up in front of a microphone and being like, I'm a lady?
Yeah, that's right. He's touring like a production of Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Yeah. He's running, I think there are 577 seats in France, and so half of them will be women. I don't know, it's an odd number, so maybe, probably one extra man. Similarly, Mélenchon, the Bernie Sanders of France, his party's running a full slate also. They actually have like 60% people who are not from politics.
Hey.
He's a populist from the left, right? He's saying, you know, let's give the power back to the people, but also let's not be horrible racists. At least comparatively in France, where the racism watermark is a lot higher than in Canada. And so that's kind of... Oh, okay. I also have to double dip this. I showed the most self-restraint of anyone who has spoken into a microphone about the French election in the last several months, because I never mentioned the story about Macron and his wife, where this is again one of those things that it's like this could only happen in France, and then you could be elected the president of France.
Is his wife's name Eclair?
No, it's not.
That would be funny, right?
You're going to jail now. Humor jail. No, get this. Macron met his wife when he was 15, and she was like in her mid-20s, and she was his high school teacher. And they fell in love while he was 15 and waited until he was 18 to begin a relationship, and now they're married.
Wow.
So he lived the horny high school dream.
Yeah, he did it.
Yeah.
And they're still together.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
But everyone always snarks about how he met his wife when he was 15, and I, for some reason, didn't. So I'm double dipping that and now snarking about it.
Right. Ha ha ha. Snark.
Anyway, we'll double dip the French election again in June when it all goes down.
That's all starting on Monday?
Yeah, that's right. Tomorrow, the candidates formally, declare their candidacy, so that they have 5 days. This week is when everyone's like, I'm running.
Right.
And so next week the campaign kind of begins.
Okay. You will be listening to this in the future. This will have happened.
The candidates the week that this comes out are declaring a candidacy. So by the Thursday that this comes out, they'll mostly be out already.
Right. Also, I just want to remind you in this moment, go pick up groceries, do your laundry.
Yeah.
You're beautiful. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. And you can do it today. I really believe in you.
This has been Jamie's daily affirmation. So let's move on now to talk about the FBI.
Yes. So the here's what I like. That they have fully just embraced the fact that their government is a 24-esque television show.
This is one of the most overwhelming news stories I've ever heard in my life. It's just impossibly juicy. It's so juicy. It almost seems fake.
Right.
Like, there's so many things about this that are so fucking outrageous that I just don't know what to do with it. I'm like, no, it can't possibly be another thing. For those of you who are crows, again, if you're the crow who was listening to this episode last time and you don't know what's going on, this week, Donald Trump fired the director of the FBI, James Comey, who infamously, has been in the headlines so much in the last little while because... right before the election, he announced that he was reopening the probe into Hillary's emails, which many deluded Democrats believe handed Donald Trump the election. They're wrong, but that's what they believe.
Right.
And then also he's the one who was kind of spearheading the Russia investigation into Donald Trump and his cabinets and his campaign's ties with Russian government and Russian nationals.
Right.
So basically, the optics of it Oh, but okay, this story, I mean, the Trump administration is insane, and this is like their most insane thing yet. So like, here are some of the crazy things that happened. Like, they fired James Comey, and then they tried to say it was because he acted unethically about Hillary's emails, which they were all gloating over at the time. So, A, there's, like, the gaslighting. Like, it's like, right. No, you guys, what the fuck are you talking about? And then Trump publicly tweeted about how it was about trying to stop the Russia probe because he wanted the Russia probe to go away, which is, like, obstruction of justice, and he could easily be impeached for and may indeed be the cherry on top of his impeachment order when that does come down, which is looking a lot more like that will happen at some point.
Well, and here's, like, this is the thing about this that, like, scares me, is that if this doesn't do it, what will?
Well, I don't know that we want Donald Trump impeached, because if we get rid of him, we have Mike Pence and all the ghoul-ass fucking Republicans who passed the American, we're going to harvest the bones of poor people to pay for our health insurance, health act, or whatever it was from last week. All those people would love to see Mike Pence in the president's chair in the Oval Office. And so we need to really not think we've won if he gets impeached.
It is not a victory. I certainly don't think so. But like, but what? But if not that, then what?
You know? Yeah.
If,
I mean, it's true, right?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but impeachment isn't necessarily kicking out a president. It's like putting them under trial.
In order
to
get him, you get impeached, and then you have like an impeachment hearing where they decide if the thing is bad enough for you to be kicked out of the presidency.
And then they have to vote.
Yeah. Two presidents ever have been impeached, and neither of them got kicked out.
Who are they?
Bill Clinton. Yeah. And I believe it's... is it Andrew Jackson or Johnson? I have to look.
I think Johnson. And I think it's three presidents, actually.
Oh, presidents who were impeached. No, Andrew Johnson. Richard Nixon... resigned before they impeached him.
Ah.
That's the one you're thinking of.
Uh-huh.
I had to look that up. I don't know shit about what happened to Andrew Johnson. I'm not going to lie. I'm sure there's some nerd-ass fucking Vox article where you can go look it up.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bill Clinton got a blowjob from an intern, and and then the Republicans scored political points against him by impeaching him.
Right.
It's like you can't get kicked out of the presidency for having an affair.
Yeah, but I mean, now we're just talking about Bill Clinton, but wasn't it, like, when that happened, didn't he, like, lose almost no support from his supporters?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. In fact, he got, like twice as many high fives as he usually does.
It's, kind of irrelevant, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, like, it's a kind of unsavory.
Yeah.
But again, like, that's just American political culture too. They use it to score points against him with their own base and stoke anger, which, I mean, clearly was beneficial because some people hated Hillary Clinton so much in 2016 that, you know, it made her very hard to get elected, and surprise, surprise, she didn't. Right. But like I said, when I was living in France, the president of France divorced his wife and immediately married an Italian pop singer, and I don't think they saved it for marriage. Let me put it that way. You know, like, I don't think they had fucking purity rings on. They were like, oh, I can't wait, Carla, until I divorce my wife, and then finally I will be able to, you know, taste your body. I think that they were banging, like,
and the current French,
two dogs in heat.
current French president was met his wife via statutory rape.
Yeah, that's right. That's literally definitely what happened.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know if it's definitely what happened, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened, you guys. So, on top of just the outrageousness of the fact that Donald Trump admitted to obstruction of justice over Twitter, there's just all these fucking hilarious details about the story, which range from the fact that apparently part of the reason this happened is that Trump was so mad at the fact that the Russia thing was always on TV that sometimes he would yell at CNN at night because he was mad that it was on there and demanded that it be like... take it, like, he demanded everyone get rid of the story and thought that this was the way he was gonna get rid of the Russia story.
Right.
Like, that's fucking retarded. I don't use that word anymore, but, like, that is a stupid thing to do.
If there's ever a time to use it,
that is poor thinking.
Right.
That is bad thinking. I'm sorry I used the word retarded. It just came out, but no, I'm going to leave it
You're
in.
Emotional. I can see. I can see the tears running down your eyes.
Donald Trump is a dumb man because this is the way a dumb person deals with a problem. It's a bad move.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's one. The B, you know, there's this insane thing about Sean Spicer, Trump's press secretary.
Hiding in the bushes.
He hid in a bush, or rather among bushes. That was the clarification they sent out. That's what they said. They're like, he didn't hide in a bush. He hid among bushes to avoid reporters who are asking questions about James Comey getting fired. Like, can you you're the press secretary of the White House. You're hiding in a fucking bush on the White House lawn because you don't want to talk to the press.
Yeah, listen, you biased. Liberal media. He didn't pee in his pants. He peed while he was wearing his pants.
Checkmate, libs. Yeah, it's just like what is this at this point? Is this an episode of Veep?
Yeah. You know,
like if we weren't all definitely gonna die in a nuclear war, I would say this was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. But you know, here we are.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that'll be hilarious.
You know, James Comey is He was supposed to be the FBI director for a long time, so it's not clear who's going to get that job. It's an appointment position by the president, so the president gets to appoint whoever they want.
Yeah.
We'll see what idiot Donald Trump puts in that seat, because so with his cabinet, he appointed like the worst pack of...
What if it's Barron?
Barron Trump. Director of the FBI.
Yeah.
What do you think he'd do? He'd like use the FBI to like get him all the Xboxes and write notes to like girls he thought were cute but was too shy to talk to.
Do like stuff that he thought was secret agent-y, like getting answers to a test.
I think it's charming the notion that Barron Trump is just like a super normal kid and would like use the FBI to do normal kid things, but let's be real, he's probably an appalling little shit.
Yeah, probably.
Like, the odds are not on his side.
No. And as of right now, he's a kid and should be protected against like media and stuff like that, but he's not protected against the raising of his father.
Yeah, just look at how that family has just turned out as a rule.
Yeah.
Are we hype about the parenting skills of the Trumps? I personally am not.
Yeah. Mind you, they say that not that they say, like, Barron is the only child of Melania Trump.
Yeah.
And apparently she does the vast majority of raising. So
I thought you were gonna say the vast majority of the Ambien that's left in the house.
All of the Ambien.
Yeah, I mean, like,
which I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know anything about Melania's skills as a mother. I just know that how could you not get fucked up by being raised like that? How could you not be?
He has an entire wing, an entire floor of the Trump Tower.
That's just his.
That's
floor.
His floor.
Yeah. How could you not become a fucking mutant?
Yeah.
Like, that will destroy you.
Yeah.
How could it not destroy you?
Yeah, and from photos I've seen, it's as if you went on The Sims and just bought the most expensive of everything and put it in the room. So like, it's like, doesn't necessarily all come together, but clearly everything is decadent.
I don't even want that. I don't get stuff like that. But it's always made me uncomfortable. I remember the first time I went to a hotel. I traveled with my dad for work somewhere, and we were at a hotel that had like a doorman.
Yeah,
like literally a dude opens the door for you, and I was like viscerally uncomfortable. I was like, why is this guy getting paid to open the door for me?
Yeah.
What does this say about our society?
Yeah,
I hated that so much. Anyway, you know, James Comey got fired. Trump has to appoint a new director. It's because of the Russia thing. He like literally said it. There's no mystery there at all. He's probably gonna get impeached, but that's not a good thing for us, because then Mike Pence
runs
might
the
be the president, and that's really bad. Because Mike Pence is like a less sexy, more evil version of Donald Trump. Like, and so because of that, he probably won't command the media outrage and the public protest that Donald Trump will. When it's like a more normal Republican in there, will as many people be activated and energized against the bullshit happening in the White House? Probably not.
Yeah, so, especially if we've gotten accustomed to this level of stimulus.
Especially when the man sitting in the Oval Office is the man who wants to destroy Planned Parenthood, and he doesn't have to convince anyone else to start signing those orders, that's a bad thing. That's going to be a bad time for women in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a bad time for reproductive justice in America. So we don't want that to happen. What we need to do is find a way to just like trap Donald Trump in like an outhouse or something for 3 years, and then everything would be great.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. What a pickle.
What a time. What a time to be alive, man.
It is. It's true. Yeah. This is, wow. Wow.
Anyway, this has been...
Wow. I'm giving Corey all of the ammunition he needs.
If you didn't hear...
Wow.
If you haven't heard Corey Mathewson's supercut of Jamie saying wow, you should listen to it. Apparently, we have a very mind-blowing podcast. Jamie says wow a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you feel the urge to make a sort of sound collage of us, go right ahead.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Pick a pick on us. Yeah, find the things that we do and...
remix
them. Yeah, remix them.
Okay, well, this has been our Double Dip episode.
Yes. Thank you very much for listening. If you liked it, please share it with your friends on your platforms of all sorts. You can find us on Twitter at ExplainJamie, Facebook ExplainToJamie. You can get to us on email, explaintojamie@gmail.com.
We have an Instagram.
I've only posted two things on it.
I've never posted on it. Yeah. I don't even have the account info.
Well, I'll get that to you.
No.
Yeah. We should have a brand new bonus episode in which Richard and I just discuss the office business of running a podcast out of a closet.
There like is a podcast called Startup that did that. It was like a podcast about making a podcast company.
Huh.
Yeah, then they expanded. Now it's about other startups, but it was like actually sort of interesting.
Cool. Maybe I'll listen to that. Anyway, how's your day, Richard? Let's just keep this going.
Yeah. You want lunch or something?
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, right. Dim sum?
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely go for dim sum.
Yeah. Guys, share it around.
Wait, do you want to go for dim sum right now? What are you doing?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, because like my dim sum place is, you know, it's closing this week.
I know.
It's four more days.
Oh, God. Oh, this is going to come out after it's closed.
Oh, that's so sad.
At this moment. No,
it's going to come out on the last day. If you're listening to this and it's May 18th and you're in Toronto, you have to go to Noble Seafood at Dundas and Spadina.
Yeah, one of the best dim sums in the city.
Closing down.
It is falling prey to the slow creep of gentrification into Kensington Market.
It's a tragedy. It's so good.
Landlords raise the rent beyond like an unpayable amount. In order to sell the building
anyway,
to turn into condos.
So Jamie and I are going to go eat dim sum. Anyway, thanks for listening to this episode, everybody.
Yeah.
Double dip!
Dim sum! Noises to end it. Bye.